Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Say, just do it. Say, I'm going to just do it. Now, I'm not talking to everybody that just said that, only the ones that meant it, because some of you said it because I told you to, but there's some others of you that are willing to just do it. You're willing to bow up against the enemy and just do it. Amen? So the word that God gave us, just to confirm what I was saying, it was get your ready on. You know, like when you're getting ready to go and the kids are all messing around, you say, you better get your ready on or whatever. I mean, I don't know how you'd use it. I would probably say something like that. So get your ready on. Get ready today. Open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go to two places. We're going to read a lot out of Joshua, the whole chapter 5 of Joshua. But I want you to go first to Romans chapter 2, begin at verse number 25. And I'm going to be sharing some thoughts today on a subject that you have probably not had preached to you. I want to talk to you today about going to the next level. Say the next level. Okay, look at me. Let me tell you something. Everybody in here has got a next level. Everybody in here has a next level to go to. The problem is some of you are stuck on this side of the level and you're trying to get in. But I'm going to say this to you. There are some things, if you don't do them, you won't get in. And it doesn't matter what God said about it. God can tell you all day long, and I agree with Michael, that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I'm going to say this to you. You'll never get to another level if you don't do something on this level. And it's called circumcision. I'm just going to ask you the question. When's the last time you had a good message on circumcision? Listen, if I talk about pregnancy, if I talk about birth pains, if I talk about water breaking, if I talk about birthing a miracle, I get every woman in here passing out and falling in the spirit and shouting, and all y'all get it. We talk about pregnancy in the Bible, and everybody gets excited. Come on, I'm going to tell you something. There's more theology in circumcision than pregnancy. Circumcision is mentioned more in your Bible than pregnancy. It implies more and is more tied to your theology than pregnancy. And if I get to talking about pregnancy this morning, you ladies get it. And you tell us guys, we would never understand. If I said something like my wife was a 13-pound baby when she was born. So, yeah, the men aren't saying anything because they don't care. They don't know. But you ladies are the ones saying, and doing your little giggling, looking around, punching another person. You get it right away. You get it right away. But when we talk about circumcision, there's no reference point to that pain. I mean, we just don't get that. But I'm just going to give you this as an idea. You can go all the way back in your Bible as far as you want to. Circumcision is not a law thing. Some people say, well, you know, that's a Jewish law. It's a custom of the Jews. Had nothing to do with the law. It was pre-law and it's post-law. It is Old Testament pre-law and it is also New Testament grace. Back up and say another way. We're going to take communion today, but if you read in your Bible in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 48, the Word of God says, before we leave this land of Egypt and before you can have the Passover meal, you've got to circumcise the guys. Where are my boys today? Abraham has a covenant given to him in chapter 12 of Genesis, but you get down the road 10 or 15 years, you find him in chapter 17 and God speaks to him and he said, I am changing your name from Abraham to Abram to Abraham. I'm going to change your name from a father to a father of nations. I'm changing Sarai to Sarah. She's going to be the princess of many. And I'm doing all of that because of the covenant I made with you. You remember when God killed the animals, or Abraham killed the animals, God walked between them and made the covenant. I'm going to say this, because I'm in covenant with you, these things are going to happen. Your descendants are going to be blessed. Say thank you, Jesus, because you are the seed of Abraham through Christ Jesus. Your seed is going to be blessed, and circumcision will be the sign of the covenant. Circumcision is not a covenant. It is the sign that there's been a covenant made. It's something that happens on the outside after something has been accepted on the inside. And if you're going to have God on the inside, you're going to have some circumcision on the outside. I know I can't go far with this because it's a delicate subject, and I just want you to know that I'm privy to that thought. But while that thought is there, at least I want to give you the idea that if you begin to read about circumcision and you go to Genesis, you find it filtering all through. You find it in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I love it in verse number 6, where the Bible says circumcision is not just about what you're doing to your body. It's about what I want to do to your heart. And what Abraham did all these years ago that I've asked y'all to do today, talking to Joshua and the children of Israel. And what I'm asking you today is not just about you. It's about Mike and Sue Wright down in 2016 in Auburn, Alabama. It's about Randy and Donna in 2016 down in Auburn, Alabama. It's about Tim and Rita down in Auburn, Alabama. It's not just about you, because what I want to do is not just see you cut your body. I want to circumcise your heart. I want to take the stiff-neckedness out of you. The goal is it happens after something happens on the inside. Now, if you read the Old Testament, you find the circumcision. I'm going to tell you, I hate it in the Bible. Most of us men that were circumcised in the hospital, first of all, before we knew anything. Then second of all, it was a sterile location. Third thing is they put you to sleep, or at least give you some kind of anesthetic, something more than a Tylenol. When you're a baby, you get this done to you. Some men have had it after they were grown. But look at me, let me tell y'all something. When God told Abraham to circumcise, he didn't say call a doctor. He said, go find a sharp rock. Where are my boys now? See, you ladies don't get this one now. I don't know what y'all thinking with me on this one. But Abraham goes and gets him a sharp rock. Sharp rock. And then he says, come here, Isaac. I don't know about y'all, but if he said, come here, Mike, I'd have been going the other way. So this thing, this thought is going over my mind about this idea of circumcision and the connection. And you get to the book of Romans, we're going to read it right here. The word of God says that circumcision is not the issue of your body. It is a hard issue, but it is an issue. And circumcision has to be a part of the kingdom of God, or you won't go to another level. Look at me, let me tell you something. If you don't get some junk cut out of your life today, you can forget the next level. You're not going to move forward. You're going to stay right where you've been the last 20 years until you can circumcise some things. There's got to be some thought changes. There's got to be a circumcision. There's got to be some word changes. You're going to have to circumcise your tongue, circumcise your thought life. There's going to have to be some attitude changes. Amen. I'm just saying, you talk to me about how deep you are, what kind of words you got, and what God's going to do with you. Let me just tell you right now, you're not going anywhere like you are. Let me give you another thought on circumcision. In the Bible, other than when a parent would circumcise a child, when they were called for circumcision, they did it to themselves. Let me help you on that thought. God speaks to Abraham in the 17th chapter of Genesis, and he said, "This is the covenant." Now watch this. He says, and I will. This is the covenant, and I will. And then he said, after he got done with his I wills, he said, and Abraham, this is the covenant, you will. You want to be in this too, Sarah? You want in this covenant? You're called in this covenant, and you will. So I'm going to help y'all right now. There's some stuff that God will, but baby, there's some stuff that we got to do. There's some things that we will. There are things that God says, if you're in this covenant, there are things you've got to do in this covenant. See, right there, we stop and put on the brakes. I'm under grace, and I don't have to do that to be saved. Look at me. Ain't nobody saying you do anything to get saved, but listen closely. Once you're in that covenant, you become obligated to the covenant, and there are things you must do. There are places you cannot go, things you cannot see, words you cannot say, people you cannot hang with if you're going to stay in the kingdom and move forward. Some of you need to quit whining over so-and-so left me. You need to stand up on your hind legs and say, thank you, Jesus. You need to write him a letter and say, thank you for quitting me because you weren't what I needed. You trying to beg them back, and God's saying, I got rid of them. See, nobody really wants to hear this one today. Look in Romans chapter 2, y'all there? I'm going to tell you something else. I can't make it any sweeter. I got about all the sugar on it I can get. All right, let's look at this. Romans 2, begin at verse 25. Now, this is written in the New Testament to the church at Rome, to a bunch of Spirit-filled believers, and he says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Now, I'll give you an idea of uncircumcision so some of you will understand it. You know what circumcision is. Let me tell you what it ain't. Uncircumcised or uncircumcision is a condition in which the corrupt desires rooted in the flesh were not yet extinct. If you've got desires that aren't extinct in you, then you need some circumcision. Have I preached to anyone yet? I know it's going to get quieter. So here's what the Bible says. Your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Verse 26, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code and circumcisions are transgressors of the law? For he's not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is, he's writing to Romans, y'all. He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Those whose praise is not from men, but from God. God's whole idea of circumcision is get your heart right. Now, y'all looking at me like, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Let me just tell you something. You can have fleshly issues and desires in your heart and be born again. Some of you have had them for 20 or 30 years and you've never circumcised them. And it continue comes in your mind. It continue comes out of your mouth. It's continue seen in your actions. Oh, I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm just going to help you right now. You're not going to get the promise that God's given you. You're stuck on the wrong side of the promise. You mean I'm going to go to heaven? I'd just be glad to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. You might want to be doing what God's called you to do. Fulfill the calling of God on your life. Get rid of some flesh in your life. Okay, let's go to Joshua chapter 5 if you don't mind. This will be a long reading, but I know you can do it. You can bear it. I'm going to give you some things to underline along, and in case I don't hit them, you can have them. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of Canaan who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their hearts melted. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Number one, you can just keep this as a thought. It's about once you've crossed the river. Say, I've already crossed. Yeah, this isn't about getting you in the promised land. It's about getting you the promises of the promised land. You've crossed over. You're standing on the eastern shore of the western shore of it. You're good right now. You're ready to move forward, but you're standing at the bank of the river. Speaking about uncircumcision and circumcision, how many of y'all remember what David called Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 when he was running to him to fight him? What did he call Goliath? That's an interesting thought. Today, God gets a victory because I am the circumcised. Listen to what I'm saying. When he identified Goliath as a no covenant, uncircumcised, he was implicit in his statement about him who David was. When David said, you're uncircumcised, implicit in that thought is I am. You're not in a covenant with God. You were uncircumcised. Your flesh ruled you. It ruled your actions, your attitudes, your mouth. You're ruled by the flesh. But I, on the other hand, am attacking you, not in the name of David, but in the name of Jehovah God. I have a covenant with him. You are uncircumcised. My friend, I am circumcised. Can I just tell y'all something? There's power in circumcision. I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about when a heart's circumcised. There's power in that. There's an anointing in that. Amen? Verse 2. And at the time the Lord said to Joshua, Make flint knives for yourselves. You know where he's going. Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel. Now watch this. What does your Bible say? Again, a second time. Now that's twice stated to them. Now you do remember when they were circumcised after they had crossed Jordan, they were of the 40-year people that did not die in the wilderness. Right? Those all died. Nobody has been circumcised yet. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, to be a circumcised believer, you're going to have to leave your comfort zone. That's where a lot of y'all sitting right now. You've got God convinced he don't know you. You've convinced yourself that he lets you do what you're doing and he's okay. Well, let me just help you on this right now. He's not okay with your flesh any day. You can't cover your flesh in tongues, interpretations. You can't cover your flesh in the word of God. You got to cut it off. Say cut it off. You got to get rid of it. What is it? It is that foreskin. It is that keeps the dirt and infection and disease in a body. It hides the things that could destroy the body. Now, that ain't manning me much on that one. I hope you're getting the picture. Because some sitting in this room right now, you hadn't circumcised your heart, and it's a hideout. It's a place for infection. It's a place for dirt. And somewhere in your life, you're going to have to own this message that's being preached today. And you're going to have to say, hey, I have got to get some circumcision. I've got to get some stuff cut out of my life. I can't have that anymore. Well, you know, Pastor, if I start doing that, my friends are going to think I'm strange, you reckon? What if I lose them? Shout. You need to try to think, when is the last time you told anybody, I can't go there, I can't hear that, I can't see that, I can't say that? When is the last time that we used any terminology like that when approached by somebody? Yeah, but if I do that, they won't think I'm tolerant. You're not tolerant. You are absolutely intolerant to sin and flesh. You're not tolerant. You love them, but you don't have to live with them. What if they leave me? They weren't going in with you anyhow. You want to read for a little bit more here? Joshua made flint knives for himself, circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of foreskins. That's what my Bible calls it. Now, yours may have colored it over with Gibbath Haraloth. The name changes again, by the way. It is Gibbath Haralo here, the mountain of foreskins. You will notice after the circumcision, It's called Gilgal. Gilgal means I've rolled it off. How many's ever heard that song, Rolled Away, Rolled Away? I'm so glad my sins were rolled away, something or other, whatever it was, old song. That's Gilgal. God rolled off of you something. Could you read a little bit further? And the reason, some of y'all wanted the reason, and the reason why Joshua circumcised them is all the people who came out of Egypt, who were all males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. In other words, these boys didn't make it in. They were with the crowd. They were a part of the crowd, but they didn't make it in the promised land. They died in the wilderness. And I'm just going to help you on this. There are people that would love to go on a journey with you if it only lasted 2 or 3 days. But when they find out this is your life, when they find out this isn't 2 or 3 days that I'm doing this, this is my life. I'm in this for the long haul. The way I'm living right now is the way I'm going to be living in 10 years. I am not going back to Egypt. As a matter of fact, if you read this chapter, the Bible says God uses circumcision and he gets them across Jordan to get Egypt out of them. He calls it this in the New King James, to remove from them, to roll off them the reproach of Egypt. Now, let me just say this to you. That's not just rolling off you the mentality of having been a slave. That word reproach there is not about what happened to them. It was about what they desired. Do you remember when they saw what was in the land and they were scared? And well, it was before they got to the land. As a matter of fact, in the book of Numbers, before they got to the promised land, they were scared. They had issues going on. Moses and Miriam and Aaron were having issues. And all of a sudden it said there was a group, a crowd of them. And they said, we want to go back to Egypt. So bear with me on this. He wasn't trying to get the stigma of slavery off of them, because they weren't living in the stigma of slavery. They were living in the desire of what they left. Oh, you don't want a man now. Well, I still like what I did. Well, let me help you on that one. You need to get over it. First of all, you need to shut your mouth. And the second thing you need to do is you need to circumcise it. You can't go forward holding on to Egypt. You look at me. I love you, but you're not going to another level. I love you, but you will not step to another level as long as you're in love with what you left. If we could only go back and have the melons and the leeks and the garlic, and sound like a bunch of Cajuns. If I could only go back and get the smelly things, the fish, the onions, and the garlic. If I could just go back and get that, I'd be happy. And I'm just going to tell you right now, God wants to roll the reproach off of you. But he's got to do a few things. And one of them is, he's got to get you to understand that I've got to circumcise myself concerning those issues. I've got to cut that off of me. I can't let that stay with me. It will taint what God's trying to do with me. The only way I know that someone still likes liquor that used to drink is because they're still drinking. You don't want amen too loud on that one, do you? The only way I know you like beer, because you're still drinking it. The only way I know you still like wine, you're still on the bottle. I'm just saying, am I right or what? If you stay away from it, you don't know if you like it or not. If you quit chocolate pie long enough, you can't say you like it anymore. There'll come a time. Some of you diabetics might want to amen anytime you want to. But there comes a time when you got to cut some stuff out of your life. And you got to start making up your mind. That stuff kills me. Then I don't like it. I'm not letting that rule me. I'm not letting that stay with me. And I'll just say this to you. I've been in that position. I've lived in the world. I know what it is to do the smoking and drinking and smoking weed. I get that. I understand it. I know what it is. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't want that in my life. I don't like it. I don't like the flavor of it. I don't like the smell of it. I don't want anything to do with it. Well, why? Because there comes a time when you circumcise, you cut that flesh off. As long as you keep it, it will always have a place to hide in your life. Alcoholism's in you, hiding out in your flesh. See, this is why God says, there's not one sin that bothers me anymore than another. Look at you. That's why he sees us and says, I know what's circumcised and not circumcised. And that ain't circumcised. So don't be talking about their stuff. Say, cut it out. This was called the heel of foreskins. Verse 4, and this is the reason why they did it. All the people who came out of Egypt with the males, they had not been, verse number 5, and all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all of the people born in the wilderness, all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were with, till all the people who were with the men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord God, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord God had sworn them. He can swear all kinds of stuff to you that you ain't gonna see, y'all. To their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. That was the promise, but there's got to be an obedience somewhere in there before you get that promise. I'm not telling you those people went to hell that died in the wilderness. I'm just telling you they didn't get their stuff. They had the sign of a covenant, but they didn't have it on the inside. And we've already read out of the New Testament that if you don't have it on the inside, your outside's not proving a thing to Jesus. I'm glad you're here today, but nobody in heaven's impressed. Pastor, aren't you proud I'm here today? Look, dude, really? Yes. I'm ecstatic that we're all here. I'm blown away every Sunday I get up here and see all y'all. I'm so happy. But I'm just going to say this. Heaven's not impressed with my preaching. Heaven's not impressed with my showing up today. But heaven's not impressed with anybody else's. Heaven's looking in our hearts today. Heaven's not looking on the outside. I look on the outside. I see the outside. Heaven's looking at your heart. So when heaven deals with you, heaven's not dealing with the outward man of what you do and don't do. He deals with the attitude that you have on why you do and don't do. If you're proud about what you don't do, heaven's not proud you don't do it. Dude, I know I can't. I'm hurt too many feelings already. But not everybody's going to stay on the journey. You need to call Billy Bob and tell him, thank you for dumping me. Thank you. Thank you that you don't let me come to your parties anymore. Thank you. Thank you that I'm not hanging out with you anymore. Thank you. See, some of y'all can't move there yet. I'm not telling you lose your friends in the world. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this crew of people that won't go with you. When you try to lay down a direction they won't go with you, and they quit you because of the direction you're headed with Jesus, you need to say thank you. Because they were keeping you from your next level. So it was, verse number 8, so it was when they had finished the circumcising all the people, they stayed, no wonder, they stayed in the place in the camp until they were healed. I want you to underline that, they were healed. So there's got to be a circumcision, then there's got to be a time of healing. And he named the name of the place Gilgal, which means the rolling away. Verse number 9, the Lord said, Joshua, this day I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt. The reproach is the desires. I've cut it loose. I've circumcised this thing. Therefore, the name of this place is Gilgal to this day. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Number one, you need to have some circumcision this morning. And number two, you don't need to leave here and go in ministry. We get people born again, delivered on one Sunday, and got them back up in charge of a service on Sunday night. Well, I mean, they're getting calls to go to churches and preach. Well, you know, they were a rock star and they got saved and delivered last week. We want them in our pulpit. I'm going to help you right now. They need time to heal because they're sore. They don't feel good about what left them. See, some of y'all don't get this, but they're happy they're going to heaven, but they've lost a pastel of friends. They've lost money. They've lost the things they enjoyed. They lost the things of the flesh. I'm just going to say this to you. Circumcision ain't fun. Some of you men aren't on this wagon with me because your circumcision came with anesthetics and yogurt. I mean, you just, you know, whined around in the hospital. We're talking about here that there's going to be some hurting going on. So don't think you got circumcised and you liked it. If it was that easy, you ain't even got the knife out of your pocket yet. If it didn't hurt you, you weren't circumcised. You just thought about it. A little too close for comfort, I get it. So here's the thing. When someone gets delivered, they don't need to be up on a testimony circuit with that. They don't need to be out preaching the gospel with that. What they need to stay someplace and get healed. Amen. If you're delivered from something, the next thing you do ought not be up in front of our ladies' meeting, in front of our men's meeting, or in one of the small groups, giving your testimony about how you got set free when you hadn't even healed over it yet. There may need to come a time when we find Gilgal that we're still sore. It still hurts. There's still some agitation there. It did not feel good. And we need to make up our mind about that, because if everything about the Christian walk is making you happy when you are coming into this thing and you have no loss and there's no change in your life, I'm just going to tell you right now, there was no circumcision. I'm not saying you didn't get in. I'm just saying you're not going to another level. Verse number 11, and they ate the produce of the land that day after Passover. Verse number 10, the children of Israel camped in Gilgal, and they kept Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. We're going to do communion today as well, but let me say this, they could not do communion until circumcision. You can't be coming up here and taking communion when your heart's not right with God. Anybody can take communion in our house. I mean, I don't care if you're Catholic or Methodist or whatever your denomination is, you're born again, you can take communion with us. We call it open communion. It's to everyone. But here's all I'm going to tell you right now. You need your heart right with Jesus before you do this. It comes out of Exodus before there was any law given. That if you're going to take the Lord's table, then you need your heart right. Maybe y'all don't remember in 1 Corinthians 11 when Paul is teaching a little bit on this, and he says something like, check yourself out. Check yourself out before you take the table. And I think preachers like myself are afraid we'll hurt your feelings and you'll leave, or you'll go tell somebody what a hard preacher we are and we don't love people, and then we'll lose you, therefore we'll just never talk about circumcision. Or you can just say, I'm a father, and I have spiritual children that I love. And if you were my babies at my house, what would I want for you? I would want anything that hides debris, infection, and dirt taken off of you. And I'm just saying this morning, there's some areas that got to be cut away. All for ladies and men the same. Now, it says they had Passover, and then it says this, the day after Passover, verse 11, they ate unleavened bread and parched grain on the same day. Verse 12, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan. Quickly, let me say this to you. When I say that they left their comfort zone, some of y'all think, why, no, they were out in the wilderness. It was hard. I don't want to make you look bad, you know, theologically and hermeneutically. But just let me ask you a question. If you had shoes that would not wear out, clothes that didn't have to be washed, food every time you opened your eyes in the morning, quail come in the afternoon. All of us hunters said yes. Quail comes in the afternoon. You were totally air conditioned because during the day you had a pillar of cloud to guard you from the heat, and at night you had a pillar of fire. I'm just you track with me right now. I've got all the food I want to eat. I have food every day. I never have to worry about it. I don't have to go down to Kohl's and buy me some new clothes. I don't have to have new boots because these things have been growing for the last 38 years, and I don't know how much longer I've got, but for 38 years I've had total air conditioning. I've had all of my food ready for me. I've got clothes on. Look at my clothes. I'm looking good. And you know they were in style because about every 5 years style changes back anyhow. So they were always in style. But just imagine, that wasn't a bad life. They didn't have to fight people to get anything. But now I love Joshua. He was a warrior. He was not an Aaron or a Hur. He didn't want to hang out in the pastor's office and hold his arms up. Oh, yeah, see, we always preach Aaron and Hur. We preachers like that. I'm going to just say right now, I like Joshua. Because when Moses needed somebody that would go down in a valley, when he needed somebody that would attack an enemy, when he needed somebody that would lead an army, he didn't call Aaron and Hur. He said, Joshua, you're going to be the one, and you're going to go down. Joshua said, that's all I need. Just aim me in the right direction. Tell me which valley I'll go. I am ready to go. I am ready. I am circumcised. My heart's right. I'm ready to go. That whole crew's uncircumcised. I'm like David. The victory is mine. I'm moving on this. Hey, can you understand? I'm just saying, he was a whole different breed of person. But what we've got here, we've got these people in air conditioning, food, shelter, clothing. When they said, we're going to leave all of the comfort. See, you've had this preached to you. Wow, thank you, Jesus. They got out of the desert. Can I just give you another view? The living God had a rock that followed them. In the New Testament, they said, and this rock was Jesus. So I'm just going to help y'all a little bit in some theophanies here, that there was a theophany going on in the form of a rock. And that was God followed them. Jesus said that I am the rock. He said, you looking for water, but I've got some water you don't know anything about. He said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I'm just helping you right now. They were in the desert. They had God with them every day, giving them water. It was God covering them every day. It was God sheltering them every night. Do you understand what I'm saying right now? They left a good life. Quit feeling bad about a bunch of nomads. They loved it. See, you're not buying that yet. You're still thinking, well, no, they wanted to go to the promised land. Okay, let's look at the promised land. Full of giants. Stronger than we are. The very first town we go into got walls that they can run chariots around, y'all. I like the air conditioning. Y'all going to have a good time. I stay right out here with God. I like what the Lord said about this. You just read on down on this thing. Well, here's how they did. When they left and they crossed the river, it's another type of that salvation experience. They crossed the river. Now, they're standing on the other side. In front of them is Jericho. They are in the promised land, but they hadn't gotten a promise yet. They're in, but they hadn't gotten a promise yet. They got to get to that level. And they're standing there, and God says, okay, you cross the river, you're ready to go, but you can't have a promise till you get yourself circumcised. Get circumcised. They did. They had communion. Time of healing. And then, the word of God said, they ate some bread of the land. Y'all remember that? And what does the Bible say? What happened when they ate the bread? The manna stopped. Watch this. We can't have anything behind us. But if you read chapter 4, God said, I'm going to take you across the river. Y'all get you some food ready that'll take you to the river. They had enough food to get to the river. Y'all, when they crossed the river, they had enough food for the Passover. That was it. They ate all of their food. They're done with their food. Now, let me help you right now. The river didn't stay open. It closed back. And they can't go back. They're cut off now. We took a step forward, and we can't go back and get any help from back there. We can't go back to Egypt. We're not doing that again. So I can't go back. Well, I can go to God and reach up. No, you really can't do that, because your Bible said as soon as they ate the bread, the manna stopped. So they can't call on heaven. Oh, you're not amening now, see? Yes, they can. They can get some more manna. No, they can't. Your Bible said, as soon as they ate the bread of the land, then God shut heaven up. They ain't no more praying for manna. Manna's over. Your breakfast cereal is over. You have nothing else coming down from heaven. The rock stayed. Oh, y'all ain't amening me now. The rock stayed on the other side of the river. There is no water. There is no food. There's no manna coming from above. There's nothing I can go back to. Reckon what I got to do. You got to go forward. You can't stand on the riverbank and think you're going to make it. You will be emaciated where you stand, because you can't go back. There's nothing coming down unless you're willing to go forward, and you can't go forward till you get circumcised. What I want from God is a prophetic word. partner, you just got one. You got you a trunk full. You got you a pickup load. Because you're standing in a place in Christ that you know you can't go back and get any help. And you can get off that stuff. I'm just going to add Jesus. He's going to supply right here. No. No. He closed that off. You're going to have to move, y'all. And your direction's forward. Say, cut it off. Yeah, you got to cut off the flesh. Whatever's keeping you standing here, you got to get shed of that so you can move forward. Those walls aren't going to come down till somebody moves forward. If you read on down to the last few verses of the chapter, it says that Joshua is at Gilgal. Food has stopped. We've eaten our last meal. We had Passover. Write this down in the flyleaf of your Bible outside where it said they had Passover. I guess it's at verse 11 or 12. And put, there's no movement without the blood. It's not the circumcision, baby. It's the blood. They were saved as they moved across the water. They're delivered. But it will always be the blood that has the power of God. And now that you've circumcised yourself, while you're resting, I'll give you a healing meal. And then when you get done with that meal, I need to talk to you. So Joshua sees a man. You got to love the story. Just quickly, I'll give it to you. He sees a man. The man is there with his what drawn? Sword drawn. And he asked the man, you just read it on down. He asked the man, he said, and who are you? And he said, I am the captain of the Lord's armies. Jesus, another is a Christophany here. So you got Jesus with a sword drawn. And he says this. Joshua says, but whose side you on? And the answer is no or neither. I don't know which translation you have. It's really immaterial. You can preach another thought on that one, but we'll leave that. Neither side. Because look at me, I'm going to tell y'all something. Jesus is not coming to get on your side. See, right now you're mad. See, I hurt your feelings. You know, I saw it. That hurt your feelings. Because you're going to preach to me something about Jesus. We're two or three gathered together in his name. He'll be there. Let me help y'all right now. This is not about Jesus wanting to come to you. That's not what I said. It wasn't about Jesus coming to him. It was about him coming to Jesus. And so I'm going to go ahead and just preach that thought. He had his sword drawn, and he said, I'm not on either side. I can go either way on this one. It's whoever wants me. I'm down here. I'm here. I'm ready to fight. I've come for a fight. I've got my sword drawn. Let me help y'all right now. Jesus came for a fight. Some of you pacifists in here need to get this. Jesus knows what the sword's all about. And if you hadn't seen it lately, when he comes again, he will be coming on a white horse. He'll have his name down his leg, and he'll have a sword in his hand. He's coming for war. You've got a God who is a God of war. So I'm just going to help you right now. I'm not afraid of a Muslim because that they're going to come and do something. I've got a living God that has an end plan for everybody. And I'm praying for them as sons of Ishmael to be born again. So he said, I'm not on anybody's side. The question's not whose side am I on. The question is whose side you on. If he's got his sword drawn, put yours up. See, right now that bothers some of you. Well, God said what I'm going to say. No. If he's got his sword drawn, you don't need to draw your sword. Because he will, help me here, he will fight my battle. If he's got his sword out, Jericho has no problem in front of me. I have no issue with that. If his sword is out. Now, if he's got his sword in the scabbard, he may tell me, you better get your sword out. You better get your shield of faith up. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's got his sword drawn on your side today. He's come into this room, and he said, here I am. I'm ready for a victory. I'm ready to give somebody their promise. I'm ready to give them what they've held on for 20 years. I'm here to open the gate. I'm here to bring down a wall. I'm here to supply. I've got my sword drawn. My question is, who's on my side? I've come to fight. Who's with me? Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, I am. I just saw it. So he said to him, he's only said this once in the Bible. Now he says the same thing, a similar thing to to Moses, but not the same thing. But he said this to him. He said, and y'all can see it in your Bible right there in chapter 5. He says, take off your shoes. Sue's already ahead of me. Take off your shoes. Because why? Because why? No, no. Didn't say holy ground. That's what he told Moses. No, no. That's not what he said. He said, take off your shoes. Because the place you're on. There's a difference in the ground and the place. All right. Jamila, come help me. Cheryl, come help me. Stand right there. Okay, listen. There is a spot that you may be, but there's a place where God's put you. There's a spot where you may be, but there's a place of God's anointing. There's a place of His grace. There's a place of His calling. There's a place of His power. Not the spot. Not the 3 feet around her. Not just where her feet, not that half a cubic foot that she's standing down here on the ground. It's not that. See, that was with Moses. That was the ground, Jones, holy ground. I get that. This was a place. This has more to do with a person's calling and posturing from God than it does topos. In other words, it's not dirt he's talking about. That's holy. You can't pack that up and take it with you. But it's the place I've called you. Where I've placed you, what I've got for you to do. Now, Cheryl, go move her off of her spot. Just push her over a little bit. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Okay, quit. See, that look right there has enough. All right, you can go sit down now then. I love the look because that's what I'd have. I'm thinking, push me anywhere. Look here. She can take, stand up, Jamila. Cheryl can take Jamila's spot, but she can never have her place. She might have her job. She may get the promotion, but she ain't gonna get her place. There's a calling and anointing, there's a place in the kingdom of God that God has you. Can't nobody else do, and can't anybody take from you. They may get your spot, but they can't have your place. You'll sit down. Did that make sense to you? This is where God has you. He's brought you out of a desert, even though it was comfortable. Today it's uncomfortable, y'all.
That's all right.
This is an unsterile operating room here. You were comfortable until today. Oh, I saw it on you as I preached. A total discomfort with things in you that's got to shift. But I saw a lot of people saying, I'm ready to shift. I've been waiting on my pastor to love me enough to tell me that I could move forward. Because the devil's had me here. I know God's got me. I know I'm going to heaven. But I know I've got a calling and an anointing and an appointing. And I know I've got a place. But it seems like I'm always pushed out of my spot. And I just can't move forward. But I want something to happen. Then I'm telling you, you're the one that got this message preached to you today. Is because God loves you. But He's willing to call you out of comfort. He's willing to shut down the food supply. He's willing to take away the air conditioning. He's willing to let you cross over. He's willing to let you look at giants and tell you the battle is not yours. I will move you forward if you can just get a circumcision going. I've got you in the kingdom, but cut the flesh away.
Amen.
Paul preaches this in Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians, as well as the book of Romans, and says you've got to cut the flesh off. Look at me. Quit asking Jesus to cut the flesh off. Oh, Jesus, help me. Look at me, baby. You're going to heaven. You don't need any help. What you need is cut the flesh off. Bow up. Stand up. Cut the flesh off. Get a healing because it ain't going to feel good. I get suspicious of Christians saying, I just walked away from all that stuff and it didn't bother me at all. I'm just thinking, you are 1 in 10 million. Because everybody else I know that lost. But they made up their mind. Listen to me. That's why there's a Gilgal. So quit trying to be super spiritual. You ain't. We all hurt. We all are wounded when we circumcise something. So don't act so sanctimonious. But that's why there's a Gilgal. Because I've done the cutting here and I'm a bloody mess and I'm hurting. But I can rest at Gilgal because reproach got rolled off of me. Desires got rolled off of me. I don't have to go back anymore. I may not have air conditioning today, but I'm going forward because there's a promise up there. I've had it for 10 years. God called me to do what I'm doing. Daniel, he called you. You're not being a doctor because you liked medicine. You're being because God called you from your mama's womb. What you going to do with that? You got to cut it off. You got to cut off anything that keeps you from doing what you're supposed to do. Now, can we stand? Pastor, I need circumcision of my heart, of my thoughts, of my words, of my attitudes. Of my desires. Yeah, but when y'all got saved, I repented and I turned from that. If it still holds any affection, if you're not moving forward, we cut it off. Today's the day. This is circumcision day. Then we're going to have Gilgal. We're going to have communion. We're going to get healing. I want you to go forward. There are gifts you haven't touched yet. There are things you've not done yet. My marriage is so screwed up, Pastor, you just can't believe. I'm going to help you right now. If you could get some circumcision in.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.